The topic of tonight's shiur is to discuss the halachic ramification of showers, both cold and hot showers, with regard to Yom Tov. Obviously, we're never talking about something as sensitive as showering or body hygiene. The purpose of tonight's shiur is not to render a psak for any individual. The purpose of tonight's shiur is to understand the issues that are relevant to the question. And again, for all halachic decisions, one should consult with their own rav. We're going to start discussing, what about taking cold showers on Yom Tov? We'll get to hot showers a little later, maybe a little bit more complicated. What about a cold shower? Person is very, very hot. This is very relevant on, let's say, Simchas Torah. After the hakafis, and you're sweaty, and you're hot, and you just need to cool down. So you don't even want a hot shower. You want to just take a cold shower. And this is relevant every Shabbos. Every Shabbos and every Yom Tov, when you're hot and you're sweaty, and you just want to cool down. You just want to take a nice cold shower. Is there any halachic issue with taking a cold shower? So strictly, simply speaking, there shouldn't be any halachic issue. Because what are you doing wrong with cold water? The whole problem with a hot shower is that when you turn on the hot water, you're causing new cold water to come in. And that cold water gets cooked up by the hot water, so you're doing cooking of the water. That's bishul. It's one of the lamatas malachas. That's an issur deraisa. What am I doing wrong with cold water? How bad can it be when I turn on the cold water? So the truth is, meyikar adin, there's absolutely nothing wrong with washing in cold water. There happens to be a three-way machloikis in the Gemara in Shabbos. Is there a problem of washing in cold water? We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara over there in Shabbos, Lamites, that there's nothing wrong with cold water. It's only a problem with hot water. So what could the potential issue be? So there's an interesting halach in Shulchan Aruch in number one, in Shulchan Aruch Simin Shin Chavav, which is Hilcha Shabbos. The Mechaber writes, HaReiches bin Nahar, if someone washed himself in a river, Tzarech Sheyignev Gufa Yafa Kisha'ola Me'an Nahar. When he comes out of the water, he has to make sure that he dried himself well. We don't want him to be left with any water on him or on his clothing. Why? The Shulchan Aruch was worried about when a person comes out of a body of water, his clothing is wet, he's got water on him. If he's then going to go walking around the neighborhood, he's going to be carrying, so to say, this water that is on him. That's the Shulchan Aruch's problem. What you see from the Shulchan Aruch is that if that wouldn't be an issue, for example, you're in your own house, or you're not wearing clothing, and there's not that much water on you. So then there should be absolutely no problem about putting oneself into a large body of water that's obviously cold. However, the Mishnah Berurah over here, number two, quotes a very interesting Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham writes like this, Kasva Apayskim, Denoagu Shleilichet Klal Benahar Oy Bemikvah. There was a minhag. There was a minhag dating back to the times of the Rishonim. The earliest Rishonim bring it down is the Mordechai and the Chumash Tradition. That there was an accepted custom, at least in the European, in the Ashkenazic community, was you stay away from all bodies of water, even cold bodies of water, even though there's no worry about you carrying it. Why? The Motzi lovely days chita sar. Because it's very probable that if you're going to end up in a body of water, you're going to end up squeezing at your hair, and that's a prohibition of schita sar. Exactly that prohibition we'll have to get to later tonight. V'oid kama taimim, there's other reasons. I even Magen Avraham. So this was a Rishonim made-up minhag, so to say, that there was a prohibition of going into any body of water, even if it's cold water on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because of the chashas that the Magen Avraham discussed. The Rishonim take this very far. The Rishonim take this so far to say, is that how are you allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos? Should be allowed to go to the mikvah. So in Hilchas Nida and Yaradei Kuf Tzadites and other places, there's a whole discussion. Let's say a lady has a tefillah shalei bezmane. Let's say the lady should have went to the mikvah earlier, but she, whatever reason, didn't get around to it, and she wants to go Friday night. I don't know too many women who prefer going Friday night, but okay, whatever the case is, it worked out to go better Friday night. So there's a whole discussion in the Paiskim that's called tefillah shalei bezmane. Maybe she's not allowed to go on Shabbos, because you really shouldn't be going into a body of water, assuming the mikvah's cold. We're not even going to talk about it. What happens if the mikvah's heated up? Like today, the mikvahs are heated up. The women don't go into cold mikvahs. They're not going to be able to make it. So there's a whole discussion in Rishonim. Can they? Can't they go? Should they go? Can't they go? Why? Because of this minhag in the Rishonim that we don't go into cold bodies of water, even Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though there's no bishul issue. No one's cooking a thing. It's cold. There is this minhag Rishonim, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, quoted by the Magen Avraham, that we don't go into bodies of water. So the question that
Ramesh... Men's mikvah is even tougher.
Right. So clearly, this halacha is very relevant for swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why can't a person go swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So you can't go swimming. It's a Mishnah in Be'er. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to go swimming. Now, the problem is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says you can only go into a body of water that's like a Nahar, that's like a river or like an ocean. That means it has no walls to it. There's no boundaries to it. A swimming pool has a wall around it. So Me'ikra Adin, a swimming pool, would not be included in the prohibition of Chazal of swimming on Shabbos. So why can't you go swimming on Shabbos? So the answer is because of this. The reason why people don't go swimming on Shabbos is because of this Magen Avraham that the Mishnah brings down. We stay clear of all bodies of water, even though it's cold.
If you couldn't build a flotation device.
Yeah, that's... That's only if it's similar to a nahar. It has to be similar to a river. So the Chazal said, if it's similar to a river, what's a river? Just an open-ended body of water. This is enclosed. It's got walls, comes, ends, stops, beginning. So this wouldn't technically be included in the Issa D'Rabban of swimming. So why don't people go into the pool on a Shabbos afternoon? So we all know it's not Shabbistic, whatever that means exactly, right? But what's the real reason? So the real reason is this Magen Avram. The real reason why people don't go swimming is because of this Magen Avram. Svardim, if you ever know Svardim, they will go swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If you go to like a Pesach program, you'll notice that there'll be Svardim going swimming in the pools. Is that because of ignorance, or that's because they never accepted this minhag? There are some Svardish Mechabrei Svarim who write Svardim never accepted this. This is a made-up Ashkenazic Chumma. They don't buy into it. They can do whatever they want. They can go swimming in a body of water with... They can't go into the ocean. They can't go into the lake. They can't go into a river. They can go to a swimming pool. No problem. But the minhag Ashkenaz is Ashkenazim Jewry. Generally, we don't go into a body of water, and likewise, we don't go swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even if the pool is not heated and it's a cold pool. Rav Moshe, yeah.
I came a little late. What's the main reason not to go to a river?
So there's two problems. There's going into a river of swimming, which is exactly, you may come to do something to save yourself while you're traveling. You may rip off a branch. Then there's a minhag in the Rishayim is not to go into any body of water, cold body of water. Even, let's say, a mikvah or a pool, the minhag is not to go into it because of potential halachic issues. That's a minhag Rishayim. Not mikvah, and clearly from Shulchan Aruch, it's not a problem. Shulchan Aruch says, as long as you shake your clothing off, you can go in. So Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating truth. He wants to know, what about taking a cold shower? Is a person permitted to take a cold shower on Shabbos and Yom Tov? I don't suggest taking a cold shower. It's very hard to do. I've tried it a couple times. Every once in a while during the 9 days, I'll try to be extra firm and I'll try to take a cold shower just to see if it's possible. I can't breathe in it. I find it hard to breathe. It's very hard for me. There's no, at all, to my straight cold, I find it very difficult. But Moshe discusses the shower. Could a person take a straight up cold shower on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Guy comes home after Shabbos davening. He was sweated up from the davening, whatever it was. It was hard to fight during the Kiddush, whatever it was. He comes back all sweaty. He wants to take a shower. So he's not, no hot water, no soap, no shampoo, nothing. Just cold water. So Moshe writes in the Tshuva, he says, I don't know. Is this similar to this minhag of the Magen Avraham, or this is different? So Moshe writes over here, number three, something interesting. Moshe writes, I don't find in any Svarim that there should be such a prohibition. Now, the simple reason for it is because they didn't have showers when these Svarim were written, right? They didn't have showers. Showers are a relatively new thing. So Moshe, what about this Magen Avraham? So Moshe wants to come up with a lomdu shechilik. Moshe wants to say, no. You got to be like the minhag. The minhag was going into a body of water, not bringing the body of water to you. So Moshe, what was the minhag? The minhag was don't go into a body of water. I'm not going into a body of water. The body of water is kind of being pushed on me. The shower is coming down on me. So Moshe, he thinks he applied this rule of don't be bigger than the minhag. If the minhag was that, ain't by el chadusha, don't apply the minhag any bigger. And therefore Moshe is not sure. Then he writes, secondly, he says, what are we worried about? You're worried about carrying water? Where are you carrying the water? You're taking the shower in your house and you're walking to your bedroom. There's no karmelis, there's no shasarabim, there's no problem. And Ramosha thinks in order for it to be a problem, it has to meet all the criteria. It has to be chshash schita on your hair, it has to be chshash carrying, and Ramosha thinks it's not a problem. Then Ramosha says, well, one second, maybe there became a new minhag in Klai Yisrael, a minhag not to take cold showers. Maybe it's a minhag like this. So Ramosha, what was this minhag based on? Was this minhag based on Amaratzis? Because people knew you can't take a hot shower. So if you can't take a hot shower, you can't take a cold shower. It's the same thing. So Ramosha is misupik if there was ever such a minhag not to take cold showers. Was there a minhag? It was just because people didn't take cold showers. I would have said they differently. People didn't take cold showers because it's just not enjoyable. So no one ever did it because it was uncomfortable. Ramosha says, no, maybe people made a complete Amaratzis. It was a toss. They knew you're not allowed to take a hot shower. So they set themselves off. I can't take a hot shower on Shabbat. I can't take a cold shower on Shabbat. No shaykhis. They're two different issues. So Rav Moshe concludes at the end of the tshuva in 3b, Rav Moshe writes, Halacha l'maisa, Zokter Rav Moshe, he's not sure. Mikol mokem yesh lahachmer beloitza. Says Rav Moshe, I think you should be machmer. And unless you're uncomfortable, you should not take a cold shower. Mishom du'ulahu b'kavonas minhag mitam delel, because maybe it's included in the minhag. Ava kishmet star. When a person's uncomfortable, yesh lahakul kiddush safdi. Ramesh thinks you could be lenient. I always think that a person's only going to take a cold shower if he's mitzar. I don't know why else you would take a cold shower. To sit through a cold shower, unless you're extremely uncomfortable, is very rare. You're not going to just take a cold shower because you have 2 hours extra on Shabbos afternoon, I'll take a shower. You're going to take it because you're uncomfortable. But that was Ramesh's psak. Ramesh held that the showers are somewhat similar to the Magen Avraham, and in order to bypass it, you have to be b'makom tzar. What do you gain by being b'makom tzar? So there's a Kveger. Kveger wrote his pirush in Shulchan Aruch. Halacha brings it down. Kveger has a chiddush. Kveger says that when it comes to the prohibition of rechitza on Shabbos, when at least it's of the rabbanon issue, we have a klal that even though normally we waive things for a chayla, but we'd waive it even for a mitzta'er. which is a much lower level. If someone is only a mitzta'er, he's not sick. A guy comes back sweaty from shul, he's not sick. He's uncomfortable. He's a mitzta'er. So Kveigah says, certain dirabonans will waive the dirabonan b'mokim mitzta'er. So that could be pshat and Rav Moshe here also. If a person is so mitzta'er, so then we waive the dirabonan. This is not even a dirabonan, this was a minhag. So Zot Yiv Moshe, b'mokim tzar, we'd waive the minhag. That's the simple but possible way of understanding Rav Moshe. They have a kasha on this from Kveigah. They say, one second, Rav Kveigah is right that we waive dirabonan b'mokim tzar, so why don't we waive the isser of medication? The isser of medication we spoke about is only dirabonan. We said they only waive it for a chayla. Why not waive it for a mitzvah? Why is it any different than washing? That's a kasha that they ask on Rav Kveigah. But that's Rav Kveigah's chiddush. That if it's a mitzta'er, we can waive certain derabbanan. So here also, this not showering, not going into cold water, is not a din, it's a minhag. Rav Moshe Sternberg and Chubas van Hoggis writes in South Africa, where he used to live before he moved to Eretz Yisrael, when it was very hot, he told people they can go in the swimming pool. He thought it was okay, because you're a mitzta'er. If a person is a mitzta'er, so then he's not bound by this minhag. This whole minhag was when you're not a mitzta'er. So if a person is taka a mitzta'er, and he has two choices, he can either go in the shower or the cold pool, I don't know which one's better, they're both pretty uncomfortable, but according to that, you can go into it, because this minhag didn't exist. That was Rav Moshe's opinion. The Debrezina Rav in the Sefer Be'er Moshe, he takes on a little bit of a different knetch. He thinks he buys into Rav Moshe's idea that if you're mitzvah is mutter, but he puts a couple conditions in. He says one condition is you got to make sure that you tie something around the hot water control. Because he says, what's going to happen? You're going to come into the shower, and you're sitting there with the cold water, and you're, yeah, cold water. And the normal tendency of a person is he just turns on the hot water. If you're going to turn on the hot water, even accidentally, it's an issur d'oraisa. So he thinks you got to do something, either turn it off, remind yourself to make sure it's not a problem. Secondly, he thinks you got to make sure there's no soap in the shower. Even if you come into the shower saying, I know I'm not allowed to use the soap, but you got to remove the whole soap from the entire bathtub. That's his chiddush. And thirdly, he thinks you should really use a bathing cap to get around the problem of schita besar. He thinks just use a bathing cap, put on a bathing cap. Or I guess you can stick your head outside the shower, be creative, whatever it is. He thinks that's the best way to bypass the problem of schita besar. That's his chiddush. But Be'etzim, he agrees to the premise of Rav Moshe. In number five, they bring down from the Sefer Shoyin HaLachas. The Sefer Shoyin HaLachas is written by Reb Chaim Kanevsky. So he brings down Psakim from his uncle, the Chazanish. The Chazanish quotes that he disagrees with this Chiddush of Rav Moshe. He thinks that if you accept the notion of the Magen Avram, that you're not allowed to go into a body of water, you would also not be allowed to go into a shower. He thinks that there's no difference. It's the same thing. Shower, body of water, there's no difference. He doesn't believe into Rav Moshe's potential chiluk between a body of water and the water coming on you. Chazanish held both are going to be awesome. Now, I don't know if that means the Chazanish wouldn't agree if it's a mitzta'er or mutter. That the Chazanish didn't say. But he didn't agree with this chiluk that Rav Moshe wants to make. There's a difference between a shower and you going into a body of water. I found some other more contemporary, Shlomo Miller, a very chashuv of Reish Kail in Toronto, noted Paisik. He also disagrees with this Rav Moshe. He doesn't believe that this chiluk makes sense between you going into the water or the water coming to you. You know, again, it gets a little tricky. You know, would you be allowed to have a water fight on Shabbos? According to this Magen Avraham, well, I'm not going into the water. I'm throwing water at each other. That's really what a shower is. That's Rav Moshe's point. Rav Moshe's argument is that it's a fancy way of having a water fight. So that's not really going into water. That's having water poured on you. But that's the machloikis gedolei achrayim, whether or not you could. So first the answer is, if you want to take a shower on Yom Tov, if you can handle it, so probably taking a cold shower would be the best. If you can handle it. I'm not saying it's for everyone. So that's the first issue. So cold showers are probably the least problematic, assuming like you're a mitzta'er, and you assume like Rav Moshe, then you can go into a cold body of water. And take a regular cold shower, and that wouldn't be a problem.
Does Rav Moshe address the speak of the Sarah?
He does, not in this tshuva. He addresses in a different tshuva. It's interesting. In this tshuva, it's very funny, right? The Debrezina comes in all with these worries. Rav Moshe, don't worry about anything. Nothing's a problem, don't worry. So Rav Moshe has another tshuva where he talks about schita besar on the beard. Where Rav Moshe also has a very laxed attitude to, you know, how much of a problem is really schita besar, right? People think that the problem with taking showers on Yom Tov is the schita problem. That is the least, if at all, any problem with taking a shower on Yom Tov. The shower on Yom Tov could be much more serious than raisa issues. Schita besar at best is an issur derabanan. The Gemara says, ain't schita besar, it's a mefurish Gemara. So we should have all saying, yeah, deraisa, but it's still a derabanan. Okay, but turning on the hot water, even if you don't touch your hair, could be an issur deraisa. So that's that issue is we'll get to
Belineda.
On Yom Tov also, yeah, 100%. We'll see tonight that according to some Rishonim, that taking a hot shower on Yom Tov could be Nisa D'Oraisa, 100%. That's why it gets a little tricky how to be noig exactly with this. But we'll get to Bli Nedra at the end of the shift. This time we'll talk about the issue of Schita B'Sar. So first option is a debatable option. I'm not saying it's so pasha to take a cold shower. But I think that's pretty agreed already by the Gedolei Achrayim. A person can take a cold shower, and I wish him a lot of luck with that, but a cold shower would do the job, halachically speaking. What happens if you don't want to take a cold shower? Like most normal people, you want to take a hot shower. Can a person take a hot shower on Yom Tov? So obviously on Shabbos, there's nothing to talk about. You can't take a hot shower on Shabbos. What about on Shabbos if you want to take hot water from before Shabbos, turn on the hot water, let it sit in the bathtub, and come Friday night, and then you'll sit in the bathtub. Someone called me up last week. His baby had a very bad rash, and he thinks that what's going to make the baby feel better is if he puts the baby in hot water. So the question is, what does he do on Shabbos? So that's so that we're going to have to get to a little bit tonight also, how hot the water is going to get. But again, to turn on the hot water on Shabbos is a malacha d'orais. It's an issur d'orais, so nothing to talk about. To turn on the water before Shabbos is pashtas mutter. What did I do wrong? So there's a gzeira d'rabban. The Rabbanan said no usage of hot water, even if it was cooked up before Yom Tov, because there's something called Gzeiras Merchotzes, or Gzeiras Habalabin. What are we worried about? Well, it used to be, they didn't have indoor plumbing. They used to go to the local chotzer, the local merchotz, and there'd be someone that would turn on the water. So people would come Shabbos afternoon, and they'd say, oh, I want to have water. So the guy would say, you can't have hot water, it's Shabbos. So it'd be bad for business. So the guy who ran the merchotzes decided to cut a good idea. He's going to cook it up on Shabbos. And people are going to say, what is Shabbos? What do you mean? I cooked it yesterday. I stored it. Don't worry, it's all okay. It's all kosher. Right? Jewish scandals. Not new to our religion, right? So that's what would happen. So the Chazal said, that's it. No hot water anyway. No hot water. We're always afraid that it was cooked before Shabbos. Was cooked on Shabbos. Hot water is out. So that's even if it was cooked before Shabbos. What about on Yom Tov? Is Yom Tov different? So the truth is, Yom Tov is not different than Shabbos. There's one heter that we know for Yom Tov. You're allowed to do things that are considered oichel nefesh. A person's allowed to do those malachas that are oichel nefesh.
In the case where the yes,
So that case was interesting. I was trying to get out of the father. The kid wasn't really a chayla. The kid wasn't sick. The kid was uncomfortable. The kid was a mitztayer. Now, that's a mitztayer. So maybe you can use Reb Kivayegu's cheshbin that you have a mitztayer. I was trying to get clear if there was any chayla element. I don't think there was anything. The father thinks that's what makes the baby happy. I said, I don't know, maybe if you hold the baby, it'll also stop crying. You don't even really know. So to turn on hot water on Shabbos for a crying baby, I don't know. Erev Shabbos, maybe you can be Mekel. We'll have to see that. Mekel, then you can't do that. So could be if you go with Kivegi or Mitzvah, you would be allowed to do it. What about showers on Yom Tov? So there's a Mishnah in Bayan number 7. The Mishnah says like this. A person is not permitted to cook up hot water for his feet. Elim can roil the shtee, unless you can actually drink the water or use it for drinking. Okay, Beshamai Shita we can discuss, but it's irrelevant because we don't paskan like him, so we don't have enough time to talk about his opinion. Ubeisil, this is what we're all going to hang our hat on is Beisil. What does Beisil say? Ubeisil matir, and Beisil says it's mutter. What's mutter? So you could learn Beisil one of two ways. What's mutter is everything is mutter. Cook up hot water to wash your entire body. Or what Beisil is being matir is what Beshamai said you can't do. Beshamai said, I want to cook up water to wash my feet. And that Beisil says, yeah, that I'll let you do. But more than that I'm not going to let you do. That's unclear from the Mishnah. What exactly is the machloikis between Beisham and Beisil? So there's basically two ways to learn the machloikis Beisham and Beisil. One way to understand Beisil is that Beisil holds that why am I allowed to cook up water to wash myself? What's the heter? You're allowed to cook up things for food. Well, where's the food? Where's the oichel nefesh? It says in the Torah oichel nefesh. This is not oichel nefesh. This is not food. This is to feel good. So one way of learning is that Beisil holds that included in oichel nefesh are those things that are essential, integral things for life. Not only food, but something like washing is as important as eating, and that's also included in the heter of Yom Tov of oichel nefesh. That's one way to learn Beisil. The other way to learn Beisil, the way many other Rishayim learn, is that Beisil is using something called mitoich. This is Beisil sheet in other places in the Masechta. He uses a principle called mitoich, which we're definitely not going to have enough time to get into the elements of that tonight. But there's something called mitoich, meaning that you're right. I'm really only allowed to cook maker adin, to cook something, to eat. But once I'm allowed to cook to eat, I'm allowed to cook for other things as well. This is used in a Mishnah in Be'ah. The Mishnah has a whole discussion, well, can you carry a kid outside in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Yom Tov if you don't have an Erev? For those very few communities that don't have Erevin yet, right? Can you carry a kid? So where's the Tzarech Yom Tov? If I need to carry my lunch to my neighbor, so that's a Haitzal Tzarech, because I need to eat. But I don't need to carry the baby. So the Gemara says over there, we're saying Mecham Beisilo. Beisilo says Mitoich. Once I'm allowed to carry a food, I can carry a kid. So here also. Once I'm allowed to cook a meal, I'm allowed to cook water to shower also. That's the second way of learning Shittas Beisilo. The problem with everything is Taisvus. Taisvus writes over here, number 8. This is a Taisvus in Be'ah, and there's a similar Taisvus that appears in Shabbos Daf Lamed Tes. They're slightly different. Taisvus in Be'ah writes like this: Ubeisilu matirin v'dafka l'raglav. Zog Taisvus, you should know that Beisilu was not across the board. Beisilu didn't mean you can cook up hot water to have a full shower. He only says you can wash your feet. Avul chalgufay moide da'asa. But if you want to wash your whole body, even Beisil would prohibit it. Why? The davar hashava l'chol nefesh binon. These are magical words in this sugya. Because you need to have something with shava l'chol nefesh. I'm not going to translate that now because we'll get to in a second what that means. And this is not. Says Taisus, in order for something to be mutter on Yom Tov, it has to have one rule. It has to be something that everyone does. Everyone does. Everyone eats. Something everyone does. But something like showering their whole body, not everyone does it. Who does it? Says Taisus, those minwagin. Those people that can't handle a little dirt, a little sweat. But that's not the majority of the people. That's not the most people. Avo yodav iraglav. So why are you allowed to wash? And now here he throws back yodav. In the Mishnah there was no mention of yodav, it was only raglav. Now Taisus comes back to yodav. Says Taisus, yodav iraglav, everyone does. Every Jew, back to, in the times of the Gemara, in the times of the Rishonim, they all washed their hands and their feet. And that was normal. So that's normal. So whatever's normal, you can do.
Does that change the given thing?
So that's the question. So that's going to be the million-dollar question of the sugya is, can this change by generation? We'll see, it changed even in the times that it was shining. The question is, did it change today? But that's the premise of Taisus. The premise of Taisus is that it has to be shavu l'chol nefesh. Now, according to Taisus, if you're doing a malacha that's not shavu l'chol nefesh, you're doing an iser de'iraisa. It's awesome. Because there's only a heter if it's considered aichon nefesh. It's only a heter if it's shavu l'chol nefesh. So if it were to not be shavu l'chol nefesh, it would be an iser d'irais, which means, if you accept Taisus' understanding that showering today is not shavu l'chol nefesh, if you take a shower, you're over an iser d'irais. Simple. This is not a derabanan. This is a serious iser d'irais. That's shitas ha-Taisus. Where is Taisus coming from? He's coming from a Gemara in Ksubas Dav Zayin. Very, very important Gemara in Ksubas. In my humble opinion, the entire conversation is going to depend on how you read this Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas starts off with this. The Gemara over there is having a whole discussion whether or not a person is allowed to have Bir Rishayna. Husband and wife, Chas and Kala get married, and the first time they're together, so normally what happens is they boil each other, and there's going to be Dam. That's called Dam Besulim. So the question is, are you allowed to have that first Bir on Shabbos? You're causing bleeding here. It's a whole problem in Halacha about blood on Shabbos. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Can you? Can't you? Allah Almighty, we pass, and you could have Bir Rishayna on Shabbos. So the Gemara's whole discussion, why is it permitted? So first the Gemara starts drawing distinctions between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Maybe you can only have the Bir Rishayna on Yom Tov, but you can't have the Bir Rishayna on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference? Why is Yom Tov any different than Shabbos? So the Gemara says, my daitcha, mitoich shehotcha chabur l'tzarech, chotanam yishalei l'tzarech. Because on Yom Tov, I can always play the mitoich card. I can say that normally I'm not allowed to cause bleeding. But every single time you shecht an animal, that's what you're doing. You're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. So mitoich, I'm allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. I'm allowed to also cause bleeding of my wife. That's the premise of mitoich. So the Gemara says, oh, if you're going to play the mitoich card, el miyata muta lasis mugmur bi Yom Tov. You should be allowed to make mugmar. What's mugmar? What people used to do is they used to burn up these incense, and it would make a smell, and it would go onto their clothing. It would make them smell good, their clothing good. Nothing to do with food. No one ate it. It was something that you did to make you smell better. So the Gemara says, why can't I burn that on Yom Tov? Why don't we say mitoich? Say mitoich. Mitoich, I'm allowed to cook food. I'm allowed to cook up this to make me smell good. So the Gemara says, no. Amalei, alecha, amakor. That's what it says in the pasuk. Acha sheyoich l'chol nefesh, dover hashovo l'chol nefesh. This is the important words. The Gemara says, no. You need something that's shove for everyone. Not everyone liked mugmar. Some people didn't like the smell. They didn't need it. They didn't want it. They weren't interested. They didn't do it. So in order for something to be mutar and yom tov, it has to be something that everyone would do. So for the Gemara, 1 second. If you get lucky enough to catch a deer on Yom Tov, you shouldn't be allowed to shecht it. Not everyone eats deer. That's expensive. Not everyone gets to get it. So good, you're lucky. You can afford it. You trapped it. But what about the rest of Klal Yisrael? So that's not shavu l'chol nefesh. So my answer is, hachanami da'osla mishchatei, amalei, ano dover hatzarech l'chol nefesh ka'amina. I mean something that's tzarech l'chol nefesh. Tzvi tzarech l'chol nefesh. Tzvi is technically tzarech kol nefesh. So how do you learn the Gemara's Teretz? Yeah, it's food. So it's not clear exactly how to learn the Gemara. I think there's a Rashba and Ksubis that's mashma one way. That I think the Gemara's answer is like this. Tzvi, everyone would love to eat deer. They just can't always get it. If you offered someone deer, he would take it. If you offered someone an expensive piece of meat, he would take it. That doesn't mean he's going to have it every Yom Tov because he can't afford it. But mugmar is something that you really don't want. Even if someone came to you and offered you free mugmar, I'd say, I'm not interested. I don't want it. That's not my style. So that's the teretz of the Gemara. That you have to ask yourself, is this is something that I can't get my hands on but I would love to? Or this is something I really just have no interest for, even if I could get it. That's one way of learning the Gemara. There's another way you can learn the Gemara. That the Gemara's answer is no. Food is food. Anything that's in the food family is automatically mutter. Everyone needs to eat. I don't want to hear it. Food is food. But Gemara is not food. It's a different category. What's the difference in how you read the Gemara? What about showering? So let's go back to Taisus. Taisus says that showers are not shavu l'chol nefesh. Why not? Because not everyone showers. But why doesn't everyone shower? Was the pshat everyone didn't shower because they didn't have accessibility, availability or access to a shower? If someone would have created showers in the times of the Rishonim, would have everyone not joined? Or maybe not. Or maybe people just felt it wasn't necessary. It wasn't because they couldn't get their hands on a shower. It was just because they felt there was no need for it. It's a waste of time. I don't know. It's a historical question. But it's going to be a very big nafkamina. If the pshat was people didn't shower because they couldn't get their hands on a shower, but if they would have, they would have. If someone would have provided them with water, those wealthy people that had slaves that could have slept water for them, did they shower every day? If that's the pshat, then it is really like tzvi. So if it is like tzvi, then Taisus is not correct. Taisus is assuming that this is not true. Showers were not something that everyone wanted. People just weren't interested. So I'm guessing Taisus is telling us that back then people just they felt there was no need for it. It wasn't because there was too much of a tircha. It wasn't because it was expensive. They just felt there was no need. And therefore, not everyone showered. So if not everyone showered, says Taisus, is not a davar shavu l'chol nefesh. That's the way I think you have to come out from the Gemara and Ksubis. However, there's another Taisus. There's a Taisus in Shabbos. Taisus.
Mugmar, people don't want to smell that way. They don't want
it. Right.
Showering, it's not that they don't want it. It's either they don't...
So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's disgusting to them. Mugmar sounds like...
So is the vote with showers, they just felt it unnecessary? Or the vote with showers were that they felt it necessary, it just was too hard? Is it like tzvi?
Mugmar is like they don't like it.
They don't need it.
Shower, everybody would like.
To them it was. I mean, they thought
it was negative. Mugmar,
or maybe they felt it was strange. Maybe they felt by washing. I don't know. This is
during the week.
No. That's the question. The question is how often. Again, this is something you know we can find out today.
The act of getting wet and washing, bathing yourself.
But maybe they just felt it was
abhorrent to people, but on Mugmar it wasn't.
I don't know. To me, it sounds like they just felt there was no need for it. They said, well, why should we shower? What does showering do? Now we shower. Since someone was trying to tell me it had to do with the fact that now we got smart and we're worried about we're worried about germs. I'm not so sure it has to do with germs. I think we shower now because we don't like the way it feels not to take a shower. I think most people aren't thinking about germs when they take a shower. So one element is today it's much easier. It's we have accessibility and availability to it. So this is something I think needs to be addressed much better. But I'm not arguing on Taisus. Taisus says what he says, so we got to respect Taisus. But at Yesh Law, then I had to learn the Gemara to know if that's the way it was like that in history. But there's another Taisus in Shabbos.
By the way, the Gemara says at the end, by Tzvi Tzorch L'chol Nefeshu.
Yeah.
Is that all across the board by any food? I mean, because
I think it depends how you learn the Gemara.
Yeah, because I mean, well, let's say somebody wants sushi and somebody
Right.
Is that considered
right? So if you learn the Gemara is saying that food is food. I don't want to hear it. Every food is food, no matter what type of food it is. If it's food, it's mutter. So then, yeah, even if it's something that no one else in the world eats, somebody eats dietary food that no one else wants. So you tell me he's not allowed to cook. It's not a shavu l'chol nefesh. No, the answer is he's cooking food. Food is a shavu l'chol nefesh. That's one way of learning.
So no matter what kind of food.
That's right. It wouldn't matter as long as it's in the food family, it would be okay. So Taisus and Shabbos is a little different. Taisus and Shabbos says a different way to be mechalik between showers. Taisus is bothered that there's a Gemara that talks about the Zeya. What they used to do was they used to create a Shvitz room on Shabbos. They would have water that was cooked up before Shabbos, can't cook the water on Shabbos, and they'd sit in the Shvitz room and it would be a room that would just get Zeya, they would sweat it out in the room. So Taisus has a whole question, he says, I don't understand, what about Yom Tov? Let's say I want to cook up water to create the Zeya, to create a Shvitz room. Would I be allowed to do it on Yom Tov? So Taisus says it's mashma for the Gemara that you would be allowed to. So he says, 1 second. Why is that different than taking a shower? I can't cook up the water to wash myself, but I can cook up the water to create a shvitz. What's the difference? So Taisus says a couple of important words over it. Taisus says, in the name of the Riva, the rechitza eina el letanug, because rechitza is pleasure. V'asura k'may mugmar, and it's in the same category of mugmar. Right? Taisus says it's like mugmar. It's tanug. It's a luxury, not a necessity. That would be the simple way of reading Taisus. But skip a line where he says, avolzeya shavu hi l'chol nefesh de eino tanug elo lebrios. Taisus says, no, there's a new gedder, something that's done for Labrius. So the Pnei Yeshua learns this Taisus, that Taisus is telling us there's two categories. How do you figure out Shavu L'chol Nefesh? Shavu L'chol Nefesh is not statistics. It's not going out and taking a poll and finding who does what. Says Taisus, the gedder is like this. Something which is letanug, it's complete pleasure, not a necessity, that's not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Something which is a necessity, like eating or the Zeya, that is considered Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Why is the Zeya important? Because it's Librius. It's for health reasons. So that's the way he defines it. Now you can make the argument, if today's showers is now no longer Letanug, people don't shower for pleasure, they shower because you need to. If not, it's not healthy. So then according to the Taisus, it should be Mutter Bizman Hazeh. The Pnei Yeshua uses his Taisus for something else. This is something we have to touch upon, smoking on Yom Tov. Very controversial sugya. What about smoking on Yom Tov? As a person allowed to smoke on Yom Tov? You can only smoke on Yom Tov if it's considered Davar HaShavu L'chol Nefesh. How can it be a Davar HaShavu L'chol Nefesh if it's so many people don't do it today? Not only do people don't do it, it's dangerous, it's a bad idea. So how do we get around smoking? So the Pnei Yeshua says smoking is not a kasha, it's Labrius. He writes that they believed smoking was good to help the digestive system. So it's Labrius. So if smoking is Labrius, says the Pnei Yeshua, I don't care how many people smoke, it doesn't matter. If it's Labrius, then it's automatically mutter. So he times, he thinks based on this Tosfos, you should permit smoking on Yom Tov. What I want from this Tosfos is that based on this Pnei Shu, according to the Tosfos, that today where our showers is no longer Letanug, it's Labrius, maybe. I'm not saying for sure. Possibly you can make the argument that the showering is Labrius. Maybe there's some medicinal purpose, it's not just Letanug. So then one can make the argument that it should be Mutter Bezman Azeh based on Tosfos' principle.
How did Tosfos even come to the Inyan of making the Shvitz of water was heated before Shabbos? Mm-hmm. Then we learned.
Because right, so he was going in the Gemara. He was talking about the Gemara and Shabbos as a whole distinction about Shabbos and Yom Tov. So he was saying that on Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook water. So cook the water on Yom Tov and sit in the Shvitz. This is one Mahalach in Rishonim for what the issue of showering on Yom Tov is. There's another completely different Mahalach in the Rishonim, which is brought down by many G'dayli Rishonim, mainly in the family, the thought process of the Ramban and his students, the Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, is they think this is not true. They think showering on your entire body is Adover, Hashav, L'chol Nefesh, nothing to talk about. It could be they lived in different places than Tosfos. They lived in different parts of the world. It could be it was depending on where you lived. But Tosfos and the Rosh are of one thought, that showering on your whole body would be a problem of Dover, Hashav, L'chol Nefesh. On the other side, you have the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, possibly the Rif and the Rambam, that say, no. There is no Isser Deraisa to take a shower with your entire body. Nothing wrong. If you cook up hot water, you turn on the hot water faucet, you are not being over any Isser Deraisa. So what's the problem? So why can't you take a full shower? So the Ramban says, because there's Gzeiris Merchotzis. We go back to this Gzeiris Merchotzis. The same way on Shabbos, Friday night, I'm not allowed to take a bath in previously cooked water on Friday afternoon. I can't do the same thing on Yom Tov. But what do you mean I can't do the same thing? What are you worried about on Yom Tov? You're worried that if I allow you to take a full shower, you may come to turn on the cook the water on Yom Tov. Okay, you're allowed to cook the water on Yom Tov. What's the gzeira? What's the problem? So this is a big problem with the Ramban Shita. So the Ramban basically says, you're right. I don't think Shabbos is similar to Yom Tov. But you know, there's other problems with showering. Taking a full shower, you can have schita problems. You can have a problem that in the times of the Gemara, when they used to go to the bathhouse, they used to try to fix the floor. There's other problems involved with showering, and therefore the Rabbanan put a gzeira the Rabbanan, no full body showers on Yom Tov in hot water. So it's a whole different conversation. This is a the Rabbanan. So we have two completely different ways of looking at this. Either it's an Isser Deraisa because of Dava Shavuch HaNefesh, or it's strictly an Isser Rabbanan. Now each of these pshatim have a maila and a chasarin to them. If it's only a derabbanan, so we have a lot of leniencies when we have derabbanans. We have a lot of leniencies. Maybe, let's say, for example, Amir al-Nachri. Maybe you can play some game with Amir al-Nachri, but Makam Tzairich, do something like that. It's only a derabbanan. If it's an Issa Daraisa, you don't have so much leverage. If it's an Issa Daraisa, maybe you can make the argument, well, today it's not true. Today the mitzvah has changed. Now it is a Dav HaShav L'chol Nefesh. If it's a derabbanan, you could stand on your head and tell me, well, my bathhouse is not, it doesn't matter. Xavier's derabbanan don't change. So each version of the Rishayim have their milas and chesrenes to them. So, halach l'maisa, how do we paskin? So, if you look in the Rambam and Pashtus in the Rif, they seem to be going with this Ramban. They seem to be saying that what? They seem to be saying that the prohibition of washing a full body in Yom Tov is only the Rabbanan. It's not the Raisa. It's really Mutter. But it's exactly the Rabbanan not to wash a full body. What happens if you want to wash on Yom Tov with water that was cooked up on Erev Yom Tov? What about that? So, you'll say, well, why should that be also? So the Ran in Beya makes the following cheshb. He says it depends. If you hold washing in hot water on Yom Tov is an Isser Deraisa, then they'd be geyser even on water that was cooked up on Erev Yom Tov. But if you hold that washing on Yom Tov itself was only the Rabbanan, they're not going to be geyser. You can't use water from Erev Yom Tov. That's too many gzeiras. So he makes this distinction between whether or not you would be allowed to use water that was heated up on Erev Yom Tov. So let's say, for example, Erev Yom Tov, let's say this case, Friday afternoon, you decide to cook up hot water and you can keep it hot somehow miraculously till Sunday, and you want to use that on Sunday, so that would be dependent upon this Machlokes Rishayim. So how do we paskin? Halach l'maisa, what do we do? So if you look at number 15, you look in the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. Motel ha'chim b'yom tif mayim l'rechoitz yodov. A person is permitted to cook up hot water to wash his hands, avaloi kol gufot, but not his entire body. Vafilu ainu roich to bevasachas. And if you're not washing them at the same time, and if you're doing what people call today aver, it's not permitted. You cannot wash anything more than your hands. Okay, we'll skip the Ramah for a second. Concludes the Mechaber. Avu b'mayim shehuchum erev yom tif. But if the water was cooked up on erev yom tif, motel lirchot afilu kol gufot, then you could taka wash your whole body. One second. So that should tip us off to how the Shulchan Aruch learned. If the Shulchan Aruch held you're allowed to use mayim that was cooked up on Erev Yom Tov, that's because he holds like the Ramban, that it's only a Derabbanan. So if you hold this only the Rabbanan, it's not a deraisa. So he's going like the Ramban and the Rashba, and those Rishonim, that the prohibition today would not be a deraisa, but instead it would be a derabban. The Ramah concludes, he says, no, the Yesh Aysim B'chol Inyan. We prohibit it in any case. Why would you prohibit it? Because the Ramah held it was a deraisa. The Ramah held, like Taisus and the Rosh, that cooking up hot water on Yom Tov would be a deraisa of Shavu Chol Nefesh. So they made the Xeri even on Erev Yom Tov. So it could be that that Machoikis B'Shainim is a Machoikis Mechaber and the Ramah. Okay, could be. That's the operative word, could be. Now, when the Mechaber wrote that you're allowed to cook up to wash your hands, what happened to your face and what happened to your feet? The Rishonim said you're allowed to wash your face also. Why did the Shulchan Aruch leave us hanging? So if you look in the Baralach, he speaks out this kasha. He says, don't get so nervous, don't get so worried. Of course, the Shulchan Aruch agrees that it's panav yadav raglav. So again, without any question, on Yom Tov, you want to turn on the hot water and you want to wash your feet, you want to wash your face, you want to wash your hands, not at all any halachic problem, nothing to discuss, that's completely permissible. That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, and not everyone agrees to. Where did this idea of Aver come from? You speak to people, someone told me, the Mishnah Berurah said you're allowed to do Aver on Yom Tov. That's not exactly what he said. So let's try to figure out what exactly did the Mishnah Berurah say. Where does it even come from? What's the Aver? So it comes from a Rashba and Shabbos. The Rashba and Shabbos makes the argument, he says, I don't understand. Each body part that you're washing is Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. I mean, you're right, I can't wash my whole body because that's not Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. But if every specific body part should be okay. So the Rashba thinks that you should be allowed to wash every body part, as long as you're not washing most of your body. That's the Rashba writes in Shabbos. The Be'er Halacha has a long discussion over here, where he thinks washing any body part more than your hands, feet, and your face would be an Isser Deraisa. Person wants to wash his back. His back is sweaty. So the Be'er Halacha thinks that would be an Isser Deraisa. So where does everyone get this Aver thing from? So it comes from, the Be'er Halacha says, it comes from a Chemed Moshe. The Chemed Moshe wrote, with regard to water that was cooked up on Friday, that you want to use on Friday night. There the Chabad Moshe said that even though Mi'ikra Adin, water that was cooked on Friday, can only be used Friday night for hands, feet, and face, he was willing to go further than that. He was going, as long as you do Aver. So they say, same thing here also. So Mishnah Berurah says, same thing. It's not the same thing. Over there, you're talking about in the world of Derabbanans. Here we're talking about Deraisa. Any body part more than hands, feet, isn't this a Deraisa? So Rabbi Halacha concludes, he thinks you could be samech on this Rashba / Chemed Moshe to do Aver. He doesn't love it, he doesn't think it's lachatchila, but he thinks there's what to be samech on. So that's where everyone gets this idea to do Aver, is based on this Be'er Halacha. Okay, maybe not. The Debrei Tzina Rav writes, number 16b, he thinks you could be samech on it b'shas hadchak. B'shas hadchak, it's a machloikis b'shoinim, he thinks a person is very uncomfortable, let him wash what we call today Aver. Okay.
So nobody distinguishes between a bath and a shower?
No, right now there's no such distinction. So now here's the million-dollar question. If you assume that the prohibition is based on the problem of being Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, and can we say that Shavu L'Chol Nefesh changed? And today it's no longer the case. And today showers are now a Dover HaShavu L'Chol Nefesh. If that would be the case, then showers would be completely permissible. Can we make that such an argument? So if you look over here on the next side, again we're running out of time, we're going to try to quickly get through this issue. If you look in the Be'er Halacha was really the first one to bring up this Shaila. And the backside of the Ma'amar Karim is page number 17. The Be'er Halacha asked the Shaila the other way. The Be'er Halacha said, you know what, maybe you're not allowed to wash your feet anymore today. Because why? The people used to wash their feet because they used to go barefoot and their feet would get dirty. Today, maybe you don't have to wash your feet. So the Be'er Halacha was the first to bring up the question, maybe Shava L'Chol Nefesh changes not L'Kula, but changes L'Chumra. So then, yeah, that was his suffer. So what about the other way? What about making the argument that Shava L'Chol Nefesh changes? So it's not so pashut. Even though it should be simply, I think all of us here are thinking, why not? Shavu L'Chol Nefesh is not din. The din is Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, but the metzias is whatever the metzias happens to be. So we'll see if everyone agrees to that notion. For example, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Sefer Shulchan Shloima is quoted on the bottom as telling the Talmud the following statement. In number 18, the Talmud Omar Moran, the Nifsek Lahalacha Shalahachim Chamin Avor Rechitzes Kogof Aser, Kivin Shet Sarach L'Chol Nefesh, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Ulan is Daiti Hayim Shekol Adam Rag Lichoitz. Once a week, okay. He thinks today it's tzarich eichel nefesh. Befrat, if you're going to smoke on Yom Tov, you meet a guy who tells you, I smoke on Yom Tov, but I don't shower on Yom Tov. That doesn't make any sense, right? That's not in mind. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, he thinks you can be meiko. So we have one mekar. Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that the status of Shavu L'Chol Nefesh does change over time, and today I think we can all agree it changes. Befrat, let's say for example, like this year, If you don't shower, so you're going to go, the last shower is going to be Friday afternoon, and you're not going to go Shabbos. Sunday, Monday, I think by Monday, it's maybe people don't shower every day, but every other day, I think most people do shower. So now we're going to be talking, not going 3 days, that's probably Hashava L'chol Nefesh. However, many of the Poskim in Eretz Yisrael didn't agree with this.
And even
though
they only did it once a week.
Right. So kosher came the way we're doing it. Right. So it's interesting, and I don't have a good understanding why, but if you look in many of the Israeli Eretz Yisrael, the Kapayiskim, they don't budge. Not because they shower differently. That's what everyone says. No, that's not the reason. It's because they have this premise, and I don't understand where it comes from, that Shavu L'chol Nefesh doesn't change. But it is what it is. If it was that like that in the time of Rishayim, it doesn't change. That's what it was. If that was the Metzius there back then, it doesn't change. I just don't understand it. Again, the problem is it's some pretty big people. For example, number 90 from the Sefer Avnei Yeshva, they quote B'Shem Rabbi Yashiv. That was Rabbi Yashiv's opinion. This is quoted in a couple places. The Rabbi Yashiv held the Metzius doesn't change. Whatever it was back then is still today. Chotshoni, and Nissen Karel, says the same thing. The Debrezina Rav, okay, he was already more of an American. He thinks things don't change. Reb Shlomo Miller thinks things don't change. He's already from Canada. I don't know. I Pasha don't understand it. I don't understand the lomus behind these Gedolei Achronim to say that Dovah Hashava Nefesh can't change. Why can't it change? So he makes a little bit more of a compelling argument, Reb Shlomo Miller. He says, first of all, what happens with the other Rishonim? Good, you tell me it's a Hashava L'chol Nefesh, but what do you do with the Rif and the Rambam? That's a problem of Gzeres Merchotzis. That's one issue. Second issue, he says, maybe not. Maybe there are parts in the world that not everyone showers as frequently. There are, you know, I'm sure third world countries, they're not showering as often as we are. Maybe we should take that into consideration. Yeah, you should hold on that. Even Frank Greenblatt, he comes out and he says, he thinks you could be makel, but it's better not to, and he calls it hamekel lo hifsit. I don't know. I have trouble understanding this. I once spoke to my Rebbe of Kamen Epstein about it. He also agreed that he thinks Shavu L'chol Nefesh is not a problem over here. He thinks the Metzius of Shavu L'chol Nefesh changes. That's also the opinion of Rav Shechter. He also agrees that Shavu L'chol Nefesh is not a conversation today. Today that's not the argument. But again, you gotta, I think one has to at least address the fact that there were numerous Gedolim that lived, or that live now, that don't accept that idea. But that's what you could debate. You can debate that premise. Did Dover HaShavu L'chol Nefesh change or didn't it change? That's one issue. But what do you do with the Rif and the Rambam? How do you bypass that problem? There's Gzeiros Merchotzos. If there's Gzeiros Derabbanan today, how do you get around it? So Rav Shechter has a creative way of getting around it. He suggests that based on Reb Kiveger, that the Gzeiros Merchotzos is only if you're going to bathe in water that's Yatzei Ledes. If you're going to use water that's not that hot, then you don't get included in this Gzeiros Derabbanan of Merchotzos. So therefore, if you're going to take a shower in what's called lukewarm, Mayim Poishrin, so then you're not even going to fall into the category of this problem of Gzeiros Merchotzos. So that's what he suggests. If you're going to take a shower in Yom Tif and you want to cover all bases, take it in lukewarm, under Yatzei Ledes, and therefore you don't have any problems of Gzeiros Merchotzos. I found a chiddush from Rabbi Abadi, where Rabbi Abadi wants to tie in two chiddushim. Chiddush number one is that he agrees with what we've been saying till now, that the Metzius does change, and today it is a Dav HaShav L'chol Nefesh, but that's not the chiddush from him. The chiddush from him is that he believes that those Rishonim, for example, the Rif, that sounds like he learned it was Gzeiros Derabbanan, that's not even Shah in the Rif. The Rif doesn't mean that it's Gzeiros Derabbanan. The Rif really is on the same board of Tosfos. That's Al Shavu L'chol Nefesh. So if you say it like that, so then there's not even a Machlokes Rishonim. Now you got all the Rishonim on the same board. They're all saying the same thing. They're all saying that the reason for the prohibition is Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Today the Metzius changed. If today the Metzius changed, it's not a problem. So that would solve the other problem. So if you're willing to accept that, so then we're really doing okay. Now there's a base mayor. The base mayor holds that if, let's say, for example, you have cold water and you want to put a little hot water, not to make it hot, but just to take away from that freezing cold. Right? So the base mayor is matir. So some people want to tie in, well, same thing here also. The problem is the base mayor, the way the Sharetzin doesn't accept this base mayor. The Sharetzin says you can only use this base mayor, legabe having a goy, telling a goy to put a little bit of hot water into the mikvah so the women can go into the mikvah on Yom Tov. That doesn't mean I can take a shower in my house because the guy is allowed to go turn on, you know, cook hot water for the ladies to go to the mikvah. So that base mayor is debatable how much we can use it. But Lamaisa, you have to ask yourself, are we concerned about Shavu L'chol Nefesh? Then we can address it. If we're more concerned about Gzeiros Merchotzos, how do we get around that problem? That's basically the question that everyone has to ask themselves. How do you get around it? The other problem that I have is that the Mechaber writes, and Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that even if it's mutter, you can't do it in a base HaMerchotz. You can't do anything in a shower. So what's our bathrooms considered? So if you got to do it, so you got to take a bath, you got to take a shower in the kitchen. Right, go in the kitchen. So the Nitta Gavril comes up with a creative idea. He wants to tell you that if you take the shower somehow with your clothing on, or you don't take off all your clothing. So that's daimit to not being in a merchatz. I don't know. I don't understand it exactly. But in any case, so I think there's definitely a compelling argument that one can make that he should be allowed to take a hot shower based on one of two premises. Either you hold today it's not a problem of shavu l'chol nefesh, then it's not a problem at all. But the flip side is, if you hold it is a problem of shavu l'chol nefesh, it's an issa d'oraisa. So think twice before you turn on the hot water. Right? That's something you have to ask yourself. When you come into the shower on Monday afternoon, whenever you're going to take your shower, you say to yourself, okay, I heard the Gemaras, I'm ready to go, but I think Shava al-Chol Nefesh changed. Okay, you better be right, because if you're wrong, you're over in the Seder Reis. Yeah, so there's a Ber Halacha. There's a famous Ber Halacha who talks about smoking. So the Ber Halacha has a whole back and forth about smoking. And the Ber Halacha says that, you know, there are those who only smoked on Yom Tov Sheni, and didn't smoke on the first day Yom Tov. So I remember when I was in yeshiva, so Reb Zalig Epstein, Zatzal, used to be a big cigar smoker. He smoked cigars, mamish, till the day he died, and into his 90s. He still walked into his office, still smelled the cigars. He was a big cigar smoker. So we always used to figure out, did he smoke the first day, did he smoke the second day? So I asked his grandson today, he told me he thinks he smoked even on the first day Yom Tov. He felt there wasn't a difference. First day, second day, no difference. There are people today that are talking makbid, that if they smoke, they don't smoke on the first day, only on the second day. So those who want to tell me, maybe the same thing with the showers. Maybe if you're going to take a shower, take a shower on the second day, instead of taking a shower on the first day. I don't know, maybe. But again, if you're going to take a shower and you're going to be samech on shavu l'chol nefesh, you're getting yourself into safek hasederes. If you're going to take a shower and justify it by saying that I hold like the other rishonim, I hold there's only gzeiros merchatzos, so how are you getting around that gzeiros merchatzos? So you're either going to be creative like Rabbi Abadi, or you're going to hold like Rav Shechter, and then it's going to have to be a lukewarm type of a shower. So you got to really have to pick your battles over here, which side you're aligning with. And then you can figure out how you want to justify, if you're going to justify taking the shower. What about soap? So let's just very quickly talk about soap. We spoke about soap in a different share here. Many weeks ago, we spoke about the status of soap. So the Minigan Klai says we don't use bar soap, based on the Tiferes Yisrael. Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's not really a problem. He thinks bar soaps are okay, at least the bar soaps that we have today, but I'm not here to make trouble. The Minigan Klai Yisrael says we don't use bar soap. Everybody should find some rice and shuva, no bar soap. So, no bar soap, so take the bar soap out. What about liquid soap? So liquid soap you can use. What about the Schita Besar? What about that problem? So the simple answer to that is that, well, before using shampoo, we'll put shampoo on the side for a second, is that when you come out of the shower, is just take a towel, throw it over your head, and don't do anything too strong to rub your hair to take out the water. As long as you just throw a towel and let it naturally dry, that's good enough. That's what Shlomo Zalman is quoting. He thinks as long as you don't rub it with intent, it's not a problem. However, if you're going to sit in the shower and you're going to squeeze out your hair, that might be a problem, but I don't know anyone who's really going to do that. Now, that becomes a problem if you want to wash your hair. So I think Barry Leibowitz suggested an idea that what you should do is you should put the soap in your hair when your hair is not wet yet. And then basically let the water kind of do its thing and it will wash it all out and you'll be pretty much a hands-free type of situation. I don't know. I think if you're going to take shampoo, you might get yourself into some more problematic problems. So I'd stay clear of the shampoo. But if you just want to cool down, cool down, so then just take a regular hot shower, come out, and then just wrap a towel around yourself and throw a towel over you and go about your normal life. And there's no problem of schita sar in any other part except for your head, or if you have a very large beard. Other than that, the schita besar is not going to be a problem in the rest of the body. So therefore, I think it's not such a problem how to get around that. I think the bigger question is how do you turn the hot faucet on? That's the bigger problem. But halacha lemaisa, I definitely hear a very compelling argument why many people would take showers. I saw quoted B'Shem Rav Salavechik that he said it's mutter to take showers on Yom Tov. Rabbi Leibowitz said in a shir that he heard B'Shem Reb Yeager from Shai Yoshev. He thinks it's mutter, but he's afraid to say it. He thinks everyone's going to get down his back if he says such a controversial statement that you're allowed to take a shower on Yom Tov. I think today people don't do it, but I don't know if it's necessarily based on halachic reasons or because we have this fear of, you know, the shower and Yom Tov and things like that. But again, I guess La'eitz Tzarech, I think a person has who to be Saimachan. What about giving kids baths? So this is a little bit more interesting. With regard to kids, so the Mishnah Berurah writes that by kids, they have this kula of the Haina Rebise. They need it. The kids need to take baths and showers often. But it really depends on the parent. If a parent is very makbid and they bathe their kid every single day, then they're allowed to bathe their kid on Yom Tov. But if you're one of those parents that are not like that, you're like, you know, it depends on what mood I'm in. If I am in the mood, I'm not in the mood, then all of a sudden Yom Tov, now I'm in the mood to bathe my kid. Or there's no tzairich. Your kid didn't do anything specific. If the kid got in, you know, ended up in the mud and is all full of dirt, so then give the kid a bath. But other than that, I guess if you're okay with letting your kids go more than a day or two, then they probably shouldn't take a bath. Again, if you're a person who doesn't mind going a more day or two, maybe you shouldn't do it either. But I think there is room to be lenient with regard to a hot shower. If you can handle a cold shower, that would be even better. But I think for most of us, that's pretty hard to do. But I covered a bria
people.
Maybe if it's taka that bad. I think today that's why they created, you know, perfumes and other things today, you know, body spray and all these other things. But I think there's market to be made with regard to this issue. But again, we have to just make sure everyone understands the issues of shavu l'chol nefesh versus the issue of xeris merchatz.